Welcome to Mosaic Wealth Partners in 8 minutes or less. I'm Eric Jaffe and I'm here with Chris Williams. In today's episode, we're going to finish our discussion of mega cap stocks and the effect that these stocks have on a number of the major indices. Chris, we've talked about how a small number of stocks comprise a significant portion of the value of some of the major indices. And last episode, we also discussed how when these few stocks perform well, they can carry an entire index upwards. We noted, however, that when these same stocks underperform the broader market, they can bring the overall index down with them as well. Today, I'd like to talk about management strategies for these latter types of situations. So to start, can you talk about the difference between a cap-weighted index and an equal-weighted index?
Sure. So a cap-weighted index, let's start there, because that's essentially what we were describing last episode, with stocks that take up a larger percentage of the index. It's because they're just looking at the weighting of the stock. So the Microsoft example, where it's, 5% of the index, it's taking that as it is. Where this will help, I think, where if we pivot and look at an equal weighted index, it doesn't care how big those companies are. Each one gets an equal share in the index. So it's very important to understand, if you're looking at an index, whether it's cap weighted or equal weight, because you're going to get different performance results.
So when you have a cap weighted index, essentially you are getting exposure to each of the holdings. Let's use the S&P as an example. You get exposure to each of the 500 stocks in the S&P, but you actually own a value equivalent to the percent that each of these individual stocks happens to make up of that entire index.
Correct.
So why is an equal weighted index one way to handle situations where a handful of stocks are bringing the overall index down?
Well, certainly the main point is that it de-risks the fact that 5 or 10 positions are going to essentially determine your performance. But it's also a way to essentially gain exposure to what is potentially the other sectors. We talked about how a lot of the mega caps are tech heavy. Well, if you have an equal weight index, then you're going to get more exposure to banks or energy or other sectors, because they're going to actually carry more weight in the way the math works out.
So we talked previously about how when the mega caps are rolling in the right direction, it's a good thing, because even though you have index exposure, you want a lot of weighting to these stocks. So do you feel that equal weight versus cap weight is something that needs to be monitored? In other words, you can't just set it and forget it in one or the other.
Yeah, that's a great point. Right now, equal weight is looking pretty good, because it's essentially a defensive mechanism, as the mega caps have performed poorly this year. Each one will thrive in certain environments. There's plenty of ways to break it out, which we won't get into all the minutiae of the math, but the main way to think about it is you have to have an overall look at which sectors and which areas of the market are primed to perform well, and adjust accordingly based on what type of indices you are going to either own or overweight, have more of.
So with that in mind, and this is not the first time in our discussion of mega caps, you've referred to different sectors. I remember in our prior episode, we were talking and you mentioned the energy sector, and you discussed how there are benefits to having exposure to certain sectors of the market when the mega caps aren't doing well. If we want to move beyond just looking at an equal weight index, how do we incorporate this idea of sector exposure into the management?
Yeah, great question. If we go back, for those who remember our inflation podcast, if you are in an inflationary environment, then certain things like materials could be primed to outperform or just do better. So you have to take a look at your interest rate, your inflation, other variables that we can look and say, historically, what has done best in these environments? There are certainly no absolute formula, let's be clear on that. But we have a guide based on, 100 years of Dow and S&P movement and sector movement to see, based on economic climate and other factors, which one of these should do better than the others. And then accordingly, you would match your portfolios to those sectors, increasing the positions that should do well and decreasing the others.
That makes a lot of sense. So keeping in mind that there's this potential to use equal weighted indices, and that there's also the ability to find sectors that, depending on the circumstances at a given point in time, have the potential to do better than the market more broadly. Are there any other strategies or ideas you have for times when the mega caps are underperforming the broader index?
Yeah, I would say two. One is dividends are in favor when there's uncertainty, because you want to get paid something for holding the stock. And certainly growth stocks are based on growth multiples, not dividends. So that's one. And two, there are a multitude of investments that offer some sort of hedge, principal protection, or buffer to the downside. Essentially, they're changing the risk-return profile. Now, in each case, you're typically giving something up. It could be capping the upside potential. It could be time, meaning you have to wait for the vehicle to mature. But certainly, there are opportunities to replace major indices and still diversify your portfolio while changing the risk-return parameters of your investment.
I think these are all great ideas and make a lot of sense in markets like what we're seeing now, where a couple of very, very large companies are, in fact, and have the potential to continue to pull down the broader index just based on their pure size and weighting within the index. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us on In 8 Minutes or Less. Please tune in next time when Chris and I take a deeper dive into the different sectors that make up the S&P 500. We look forward to you joining us then.